Taking a ride on the Freedom Train podcast series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and as always, riding with me is my homies, Patrick Irvin and Jamie Basham. The Freedom Train is sponsored by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. Once again, that's pactsinc.org. That way you can go on the website, learn more about PAX Inc., and you can also study the 12 codes of conduct that was created by PAX Inc. to help Black America live more as a family and work together more as a unit. Now, while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can keep up with all the shows. You can learn more about us, your guests, and, you know, just explore and have fun and sit there and soak in all the knowledge that our guests have given us over the years. While you're online, make sure you like our Freedom Train Facebook page. Follow us on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. Follow us on Twitter at Freedom Train Net, and then subscribe to us on Google Play Music or iTunes, depending on what device you got. One time for the Android people, so you know, we do it like that. So Pat, Jamie, what time it is?
What's good, folks? It's about that time. That's what time it is.
You know what I'm talking about? What up, Pat? Huh? Game time. Ooh.
Did I
one of them
that
times.
Wrong?
Yeah. I don't know. You're supposed to say it with more emotion. Game time, huh? There you go. There you go. How y'all gentlemen doing this week?
Not much, man. Just trying to cipher through all this nonsense that's going on out here and stay sane. But everything copes dead.
Man, you know. More and more. You got to pee. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, you know, let it out.
Yeah, just let it flow, man.
You know, stay woke. People creeping.
Well, my computer right under my chest, so if I just let it flow, then I have to do, you know, everything might shut down.
You might get shocked, but you know, they ain't shocking build character.
My mother, she's
stupid.
Like that.
Hey, man. I want to give a special shout out to all the people who calling out all the sellouts in Black America. So,
just right off the bat, we're going to get into the sellouts, huh?
Well, I just want to give a shout out to the people who calling out
the sellouts. Okay, I got you. There's a lot of them out there. That's a lot of calling out to do.
I mean, you know.
What it is. Yeah, we got to do a show on what constitutes a sellout. We kind of hit on that earlier, but we got to throw that rant in there one day.
Yeah, go right into it.
Nah, we ain't gonna go into that, man. Not today, but
you know, like you're saying, do a show and get into it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So today we on our Mythbusters, but we like hood Mythbusters today.
Mythbusters.
So I got on like a Scully cock to the side instead of like one of them detective hats. Got a Scully cock to the side because I'm ready. And Pat going to be like sort of our connoisseur today. But we're going to demystify some of these myths that were created. The propaganda was created and Black America ran with it. And some people have adopted these behaviors, but it doesn't represent Black America as a whole. So we have like, or let me just go through them, and let me read to you what these myths are, and then we're going to come back through the myths one by one and debunk them. So the first myth is, Black women are educationally and economically too advanced for black men. Number two, black women don't know how to treat black men. Number three, black men are poor fathers. Number four, black women are ratchet and poor mothers. Number five, black men are poor husbands and providers. Number six, black women are emotionally unstable. Number seven, black men are abusive. Number eight, black women are too obsessed with church. Number nine, black men are too few in number. And 10, black men are more attracted to white women. Now, we will say number eight and number nine are not necessarily the myths that we are trying to demystify. And number eight was black women are too obsessed with church. And number nine are black men are too few in numbers. We're not necessarily trying to demystify, but we will go into those and put those more into context. So let's go back to the top and start with number one. And I want to start with you, Pat, get your ideas on this. Black women are educationally and economically too advanced for black women. How the hell we get to that conclusion?
You know what? I think that comes from the whole, you know, that whole wave that went around not too long ago. I say not too long ago, but I think it's actually been like 5 or 10 years now, where black women were getting in college, and then they were interviewing all these single black women, and then for some reason the answers shifted from black men wanting to be with white women to I just can't find a man that's on my level. You know, and I'm not real sure why that shift happened or where that shift came from, but for some reason that answer took over precedent for all of the other answers. It became like the number one answer. You know, it right behind that whole I'm independent, I'm strong, I'm educated, I make my own money, and I can't find a man on my level. And I don't think the majority of black women feel like that, but for some reason, those seem to be the only black women that get on TV.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I think that's a load of shit. All
I mean, it is a load of shit, man, to say black women are. Because I saw something one time where it said black women are for grown men, and then it was like a picture with black women and a white man. And I'm like, man, fuck out of here, man. So a white man is the definition of a grown man. White men haven't learned how to love their own women. How the hell they the perfect ones for black women when they haven't figured out how to love their own women. And we don't even look at that stuff. Like the feminist movement exists because the white woman and the white man were partners in crime and terrorizing every other race on the earth. And then in the end, the white man got his cut and fucked over the white woman, and now she mad, and that's why the feminist movement started. And you gonna tell me this the dude right here who is the staple for black women, the dude who can't even get his stuff straight with his own woman? Bullshit.
I don't know. I don't agree with any of that statement, of course, because it's not true. But my thing is, from that perspective, the educational aspect and the money aspect of it, you always hear, and you know, there's myths on both sides. I can't find a good black woman. I can't find a good black man. And to people who say that, I just say you're looking in the wrong places. Your methods of finding, you know, a suitable spouse or mate or something like that just suck. So it's not that you can't find them. Just not looking in the right places. There are women who, you know, went out and got, you know, advanced degrees that are doing very well, and they get to a point, sometimes I feel like, you know, they kind of look down as a guy has to have all this and more, or a guy gets that education, get that money, and feel like, you know, they got to go off to go get this. The fact of the matter is, there's plenty of black women out there that everybody can be on the same level as each other. So I hate this myth altogether. It's stupid.
Man, but let's just be real. More degrees don't necessarily equal to more money.
And that's true. And that's what I'm getting at. So, like, for example, you get a young lady who's got a PhD or something like that, and if she believes in that whole classism and all that kind of nonsense, she's going to feel like she need, you know, a six-figure Idris Elba-looking-ass dude versus a guy who, you know, maybe own his own business, doing his own thing, is, you know, equally attractive in some degree, but he's not on that status level and stuff like that. So a lot of it to me is just, you know, ego and that bullshit we buy into as a society, that classism and all that nonsense.
Hey, yeah, I mean,
if we chop it up further, because now that we done all said how we feel about it, which is, I think we all agree, it's bullshit. When you look at the numbers, you know, okay, so let's talk about college attainment, since the educational part is up there first. For every 10 black women with a degree, roughly 8 black men have a degree. Black women have a degree attainment of 21.4%. Black men have a degree attainment on average of 18%. So, you know, you're talking about a difference of less than 5 percentage points. So that kind of, like, debunks that whole, I can't find, and, you know, to another point, or that whole thing that says there aren't enough black men out there with college degrees,
that's,
you know, that just blows that out of the window, because clearly there are. But I think, you know, when we come to talking about degrees, again, you're talking about only 20% of the black population has a degree. So there's already a small percentage. And then now you're talking about how spread out they are across the landmass that is the United States. It, chances are, if you have a degree and you're looking for Mr. Right or Mrs. Right with all the other qualifications that you're looking for, you're probably not going to find that person in your city. Not with a degree, with this, with that, with this, with that, with this. With, and that's just because only 20% of the population, roughly, has a degree to begin with. So, you know, but then you go down and you look at the earnings numbers, because the second part of that is economically. Black women on average make $600 a week. Average weekly income, this is according to the Bureau of Labor and Statistics. Black women have an average weekly income of $600 a week. Black men have an average weekly income of $660 a week. So,
we earn about the same. They maybe get more degrees, but we still earn about the same.
And that's the thing, like, the difference in both areas is negligible. It really is. Like, black women aren't earning these huge amounts of degrees more than black men. And black men aren't making this huge amount of money more than black women. But in the same token, black women running around saying, I can't find no man on my economic level. That's not to say that there aren't black men on your economic level, because on average, black men are making more than black women. So I just think we got to, and then this whole debate of just because somebody has a degree and makes the same amount of money as me, we're going to be perfectly compatible. I know PhDs married to people that are high school dropouts. They seem perfectly happy.
And
if you go to that level, there were back in, I think the numbers was 2012, I could be wrong, 98 black women graduated with a PhD, 98 black men graduated with a PhD. The higher the educational degree gets, the closer the gap between black men and women gets. It's only at a bachelor's degree that we see this gap. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I don't even have anything to say, because that's it, man. Exactly what you just said. And the moving from the city, these expectations, I hate the expectations we put on ourselves when it comes to black people in relationships and that equally yoked scenario. You know, if I got this, my spouse or significant other has to have this. Not necessarily. You could have 8,000 degrees. Does that mean your wife's going to have the same amount, that you can't love her or she's not good enough for you unless they have this, they're in the same class as you? Now, granted, you don't want to, that's not saying you got to go get somebody who's a bum-ass person, but if I got a PhD, that doesn't mean who I marry has to have a PhD. As long as they can bring something to the table, we got to stop equating everything about a relationship just the, you know, education and economics. I think it's way more to a relationship and founding a significant other than just education and economics.
Well, you know, when you watch too many of them white girl movies and you try to adopt and try to live and be like white women and think like white women, that's when you get this where we at right now. because, you know, growing up, everybody wanted the Prince Charming. They create this idea of what this dude is supposed to be, and then, you know, well, I'm going to have a PhD and make $100,000. My man said, yeah, but you keep forgetting about that $100,000 worth of debt that you went to, so you really ain't balling, because for right now, you got to pay off debt. But at the same time, like Pat, you said something earlier about somebody having a PhD and somebody and looking down on somebody who owns a business. To me, that's just insane. Especially if you have a PhD and you're looking for work for somebody else, but you're looking down on somebody who is working for themselves, whether you male or female. That's just ass backwards.
Well, that's that elitism that we have.
But your ass ain't elite if you're looking for work.
Yeah, but we talking about, well, you know, academic elitism, economical elitism. You know, you got all these forms of elitism in the community, and you have these people who have high levels of education, formal education. They have PhDs, multiple master's degrees, or multiple bachelor's degrees, and they honestly feel like there aren't any people that didn't achieve what they achieved, or that haven't achieved what they've achieved academically, that can't carry a conversation with them, or that can't teach them anything, or that can't sit on their level intellectually simply because they haven't achieved various levels of formal academic education. And that's the real crutch of a lot of this, is that you know what I'm saying. That's the real problem, or the real issue with a lot of this, is that people feel like, well, I've achieved this, and if you haven't achieved this, then you can't fuck with me. And then, you know, that's where you be like, I know PhDs right now that are dumb as shit, and I will tell them that to their face. Just because you can write a good paper, you know what I'm saying, and write your name on the top properly and format it properly and all of that, just because you can do all of that good and turn in a paper good enough for you to get signed off on and all this other stuff, doesn't mean that you have real-world applicable knowledge or even conversational common-sense knowledge.
Right. And the dude that work at the car wash make more money than you in a day. So I just want to throw that in, but, you know, we got to get past that. Like black women are not too advanced for black men, and black men are not too advanced for black women. We just right for each other, and we need to get that in our minds. Black men and black women were made for each other. Let's get it right.
To another point, real quick, I think a lot of this is added to by the fact that you see all of these things coming out with people saying, I've said this before on the show, with people saying black women are the most educated group of women on the planet, and black men are the most incarcerated group of men on the planet, group of people on the planet, or in the United States, shall we say. And it's like, you got to look at that both ways. One, all right, it's true, black men are the most incarcerated men in America, but that doesn't mean that those black men getting incarcerated are idiots, are stupid, or don't educate and better themselves while they're locked up and learn new things. And two, black women are not, and I know a lot of people are going to, black women are not the most educated group of women in America. That statistic that's so often quoted was enrollment numbers. Black women that specific year had enrolled and got accepted into college more than other racial groups had. But when you look at attainment numbers, they did not attain more degrees than other people had. Which means that, and that's a problem that can't be addressed if we continue patting ourselves on the back with false understandings and statistics. If more black women enrolled in college than anybody else, but then those, you know, we did not attain more degrees than anybody else, then we have a dropout rate problem that needs to be addressed.
Right. Right. All right. So let's move on. So number two, and we're going to squash the hell out of this one. I'm coming off the top rope like Dusty Rhodes on this one. It said, black women don't know how to treat black men. I want to start on this one, which is straight bullshit. Straight bullshit. I would personally say, from my personal experience, every relationship that didn't go right, I fucked it up. I'm just be real. No, straight up. Like, most of them, everyone on, I say except for one that I've been in and I've only dated black women, I fucked it up. I did wrong. I'm willing to admit that shit. Like, and then when I get back to think, cause when I'm reading the question, then I started thinking about it. You do have some black women who got to get their shit together. But to say that black women don't know how to treat black men overall is full of shit. Like, almost like damn near every woman I know how to treat they man. I'm not gonna say every last one on, cause there's some black women I know who I hope. Well, I ain't gonna say I hope, but they need to get their stuff together. But for the most part, black women know how to treat black men. Black women know how to treat their men. Black women, they love to please their men. Black women love to nurture. Black women love to uplift and do all these things for us as men. Like, black women, they the shit, man. Black women are the bomb. Whoever say black women don't know how to treat black men, that's some dude who need to grow the fuck up and get over it and stop being a fucking loser and a give up. And so you had one bad experience, not because you had one bad experience. And that's some bullshit, man. Black women know how to treat black men. And I fight anybody who got a problem with that.
Joe's getting violent today. I'll agree with that. I firmly believe black women know how to treat black men, because they can relate. You know, they can understand what, you know, a black man goes through in life, period. They have all the qualities, like Joe said, and, you know, I'm not going to go back into my old relationships because I messed a few up myself. I won't get too specific. But that's just stupid. Black women know how to treat black men, and as a black man, I've only dated, you know, black women. I'm married to a beautiful black woman, and no matter who you get in a relationship with, you're gonna have to learn how to treat them the way they want to be treated and stuff like that. So to say they don't know how, nah, that's just stupid.
Bullshit.
Yeah, that's just stupid.
But that's, you know, we get into this when we start talking about black women emasculating black men and black women doing this and doing that. I'm not going to go out like Joe did and say every one relationship I've had, I messed it up. But I have messed one or two of them up, you know. But in saying that, I do think, like for me, if that was an ironclad fact that black women didn't know how to treat black men, you wouldn't have black men marrying black women at the clip that they did. You know what I'm
right.
saying? You think about it, over 90% of black men are married to black women. Like, would that percentage really be that high if black women didn't know how to treat black men?
Well, see, the problem is people are not looking at statistics. Tell them where you got them stats from so they can go look for themselves.
That particular stat comes from a 2012 statistical abstract.
Now, the reason why I say that is because...
I'm sorry, the census. 2012 statistical abstract for the census.
Now, the reason why I say that is because when people see the pictures and the videos on TV and the social media and stuff of black celebrities, and because, you know, it's a handful of celebrities, and they show them over and 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 over, and you keep showing this handful of people over and over with white women, and it's making them think, especially they say all successful black men marry white women. Well, that's a lot. Like 85% of what black men you would call successful marry black women.
Right. Six figure black men, 80% of black men that make six figures or more are married to black women as well. But you know, that's the media. They're always drawing our attention to the interracial couples. They make the movies about the interracial couples. In the commercials, all you see is interracial couples. The TV shows, interracial couples. You mean, like right now, everybody's all hopped up with Luke Cage and whatnot, and I'm wondering how they gonna act when they get hit in the face with the fact that Luke Cage is married to Jessica Jones, a white chick. You know what I'm saying? And then you got the Danny Rand Iron Fist thing coming out, which Iron Fist was a partner to Luke Cage. I wonder how they're going to feel when they find out that Iron Fist actually ends up with the chick that they all think Luke Cage is going to end up with, Misty Knight, who is a black woman. So this
police
show
officer lady.
We're all calling the blackest show on TV is about to have two high-profile interracial relationships, and that's the way this thing works.
Who said there was a blackest show on TV?
Yeah, remember when Luke Cage first
came out. Yeah, when he first came out, people were buzzing about it. Oh, yeah. I thought it was good, but it ain't like I was, you know, I didn't think it was as deep as people would make it out to be. I was just entertained because I enjoy Marvel stories, so whatever.
Yeah, but black women know how to treat black men. Black women been treating black men good since the beginning of time. Oh, when they hear that shit from people trying to pile on, make it seem like black women are just fucked up like that. That's not true. That's not true. Also,
my mama was a good woman. I got aunties as good women. My grandma is a great woman. My wife now is a good woman. Like, I don't... Who are these horrible women?
But you gotta remember, though, you attract who you are. You attract what you are. And if you're attracting bad people, maybe you need to fix your aura. I'm just saying.
And we stereotype ourselves as a community, just like the other societies as well. Like, you know, we think that of ourselves for some reason when, if you look at the data, you look at the statistics, it's just not true. But we buy into the negative stereotypes that go against what we know for sure because we live these lives. You know your wife was a good black woman at X, Y, and Z, and you know you messed up. But we'll still go ahead and, you know, believe this. Black women don't know how to treat because of, you know, us buying into these dumbass stereotypes. So,
but it's like you can't if you really think that the women on TV and these women on Instagram and all these things still represent all black women, you a fucking idiot.
You know that, Joe. People like to feel special.
Yes.
And don't nothing make you feel special than thinking I got one of the few good black women or I got one of the few good black men. When you know the reality of the situation is, you just got a normal black woman. She's outstanding to you, you know, and that's great. She should be.
But all black women are outstanding. For the most part.
Most of them, the vast majority of black women are outstanding. But, you know, for some reason, I want to feel special. So I want to feel like I got something rare. I want to, you know, we see the same thing with diamonds. We know diamonds are crazy abundant out there. But, you know, we allow ourselves to be fooled into thinking that diamonds are these rare gems that we got to pay top dollar for. It's the same thing with relationships. You want to fool yourself into thinking that whoever you decided to be with is just super special in the grand scheme of the world. And the truth is, you just got an average good person.
You make it sound so horrible, an average good person.
I don't want to, because like, I like every other husband, I think my wife is the shit. You know, I think there's nobody else out there that's better. But when I look at it from a statistical standpoint, or from an analytical standpoint, I have to put that emotion to the side and be like, well, the truth is, my wife is a good woman. And most women are good women.
Absolutely. No, I get that. I think we beat this one up. Fact of the matter is, black women know how to treat black men. They always have. They've been our number one supporters. If anything, sometimes we haven't treated them the way they should have been treated, you know, at times. But black women have always been the number one supporter of black men. So that myth is dumb as crap. Let's go to the next one.
Right. So the number three is black men are poor fathers.
False. BS and a whole other bunch of shit. And I'm taking this one. Stand down, Joe. Stand the hell down.
You sure?
The reason I say this, I'll be quite honest. My dad, I haven't seen my dad probably since I was 16. I couldn't tell you anything about my father. I know he's living. I know he's somewhere. I could tell you a few things about him. I couldn't tell you the basic stuff. He left my mom and my family when I was about 5 or 6. Didn't have a relationship. Still don't have a relationship with him to this day. I would have what you had. I had what you would call a poor father. But I know that's just me. I know that isn't, you know, the common baseline to everybody's story. But fast forward to my black ass. I think I'm a great father. I think my daughters think I'm a great father. My wife thinks I'm a great father. So that I am demystifying that myth by just waking up every day and taking care of my family. So I hate that because when you say, now that I'm a father and you try to all black fathers if they would say it. Shut the fuck. I take damn good care of my kids, and I only associate with brothers who take care of their families as well. I don't know any bad fathers. And if I know somebody in my crew that's a bad pops, yo, I'm gonna stop messing with them. Like I just don't run like that. So I hate that man.
I mean, me, I see both sides of the coin, and I'm still here screaming out, y'all some bullshit when you saying all black men are poor fathers. Like I go to, I'm the dude who walking down the street, you know, passing out condoms and talking to people. So when we in the hood, we pass by the store, you see all the old black men who drunk hanging out in front of the store and all that stuff. You see all that stuff there. But I see more of black men out here making things happen with their families. There's a lot of black men who take care of their families and other people's families.
Facts.
You know the thing with this one is it's got so many different things buried into it, because you have motherfuckers talking about the whole single parent household thing, which, you know, first off, let me say to that, single parent household simply means a woman is not married or a man is not married in a house with children. That does not mean that a father is not in the house. It doesn't mean that a father figure isn't in the children's lives whatsoever. All that statistic means is 9 times out of 10 that a woman, since we like to harp on woman, but we'll say that a parent is in the house and that parent is single. That's all that statistic means, but we take it to mean all of these various other different things that are not inherent in that number. You know what I'm saying? My mom, by statistically speaking, my mom was a single parent, and I grew up in a single parent household run by a woman. But I know who my father is. He was there from my earliest memory. I can call him up right now and get him on the phone. He's always been there, always available, and for 5 years of my life, he actually lived with us when they were married. So So that's the one part that needs to be unpacked. The other part is the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, did a study that was released a few years back, 3 or so years back, maybe a little bit longer, that actually looked at the fathering rates and the styles and blah blah, the involvement of various fathers. And they found that out of the black, there were only 3 races categorized: black men, white men, and Hispanic men. And out of those three types of men, black men were at the top of nearly every category. Nearly every category. Matter of fact, for children that are under 4 years, 4 years or younger, black men were twice as involved as other groups, other fathers.
Yeah.
So this whole black men are poor fathers thing, that stems from
bullshit.
Yes, it does. Basically, to boil it all down, you got all these motherfuckers talking about gang violence and this, that, and that. Look, 35% of gangs are actually black. 35% of the people that are in gangs are black, and that's still less than 1% of the total black community. So this whole, like, there are just so many different holes in this whole topic about black men being poor fathers, but it stems out of that whole single parent, blah, 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 and then they take that, and then they combine it with all these studies that say if a child grows up without a father, then they're going to deal drugs, rape women, and go to jail and get raped and blah, 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 and murder somebody's face and all this other stuff.
Wow, right.
They don't take into account anything else that could be going on in that house. They don't take into the account the fact that that child might be being neglected. That child might have mental disorders. That child might be exposed to an environment that's pushing them towards that direction. They don't take into account all of the other things. They simply say, did you grow up without a father? Yes, I grew up without a father. And you ended up in jail murdering 4 people and raped 3 white women, so it must be because you didn't have a dad.
Well, Hitler had a daddy. I mean, he did. I bet you Jack the Ripper had a daddy, Charles Manson. I bet you they grew up with their daddy, Timothy McVeigh. I bet you. Who?
Dylan Roof.
He did. I'm not sure.
Did he have a daddy?
I'm not sure. I bet you Jared the Subway dude had one. He raped little kids. But it's like, same thing with me. Like, my mom and my dad divorced when I was 5. That don't mean, like, so both my parents were single parents. Really, both my parents were single parents. And we straight. My pops was there. I mean, looking back now, I'm able to see the maturation that my pops had to take. And looking at my pops as a 60-year-old now versus looking at my pops as a 30-year-old, you know, and being the 30-year-old myself, I understand some of the things. I understand better now some of the things that happened between my moms and my pops. But being able to see where we are now, like I tell people, like, you know, he was there. We're like, we cool. He was there. I mean, what else you want me to say? I mean, and then, like, I can, all of my friends' daddies, every one of my homeboys' dads was like that other dad in everybody's life. So all of it was like a visit. Like, right now, my homeboy Chimo, right now, if his daddy walk into the room, hey, man, I'm going to stop everything I'm doing right now. Because he got that look on his face, too. And if he walk in the room right now, I'd probably stop quicker than him than I would my own daddy. But what I'm saying is, I'm here. One of the reasons why I'm where I am and a lot of other people that I know and other people that we've come across is because of the incredible black men and women in their lives. Both sides, whether your father personally was in your life or not, that doesn't stigmatize all black men.
Right.
Because let's say if your biological father wasn't there, but somebody else stepped in, that's a counter to your argument right there. You may be angry at your biological father, but to take that out on all black men is an insult to the person who stepped in and took care of you when they didn't have to. And then you got to remember, like, yes, the community may not be the same as it was, but we're here. Most people, if you are successful, it's because of positive black men and women in your life. And I don't want to hear none of the bull about it because you'll be lying.
Oh, and real quick. It popped in my head while you were talking. Dylan Roof did have a daddy because his daddy bought the gun that he used to kill them people in that truck.
See, so serial killers come from two-parent households.
He's stupid.
All right, so this next one says, number 4 says, black women are ratchet and poor mothers. Well, all
right,
if you said that, your mama.
Exactly. Your mom, yeah, I know, right? Okay, all black women are ratchet. I hate that stereotype. And usually it's from some, you know, I dated one black girl, she put it on me, I couldn't hang, and now I don't like all black girls. All black women are ratchet. Now, are there ratchets out there? Yes. I'm not denying the existence of ratchets, male or female for that matter. They exist. But is that the overwhelming majority? No. I'll say this, I'm married. Married man, and you know, sometimes I want my wife to be a little ratchet at certain times, so hey, I'm for a little bit of ratchetness if it's nice, clean, Christian fun. You get what I'm saying? I think is again stuff we see on TV, you know, watching Maury all goddamn type day. Of course, you're gonna think black women are ratchet and poor mothers. We got to unplug from the idiot box and really get out there, because if you make that statement and you're a black person, then your mama ratchet and is a poor-ass mother. That's literally what you're saying, but you don't want to say it, so don't fucking say it. That's my rant. All
right. I'm going to say it like this. This ratchet, like people love to shine a light on black women. You know, because black women are one of the groups of people, like, everybody in the world like to kick when they down, like to step on and things like that. Because, you know, black women is the group that white women act, pretend like they like, but then be the first ones to shit on them. So, but to say that all black women are ratchet and poor mothers, we got generations and generations of white people that we can ask, because from my understanding, for about 400 years, white crack ass women wasn't raising their kids. So white women are the first sorry ass baby mothers, and white men are the first sorry ass baby daddies, because they wasn't taking care of their kids. Let's just be real. Black women were taking care of their kids. Black women are so great at being mothers that the white women, think about this, like, wrap your mind around this. A white woman will beat this lady down, demean her, treat her like an animal, and then give her baby to that person that she just demeaned to raise and nurture her child, because she know that woman that she just did all that horrible stuff to can raise her child better than she can. So we going from that to them convincing us that black women can't raise their own kids, when black women been raising everybody else's kids forever. That's that bullshit, and we're not going to stand for it.
The interesting part about the whole black, and what's funny about what you said, is that the child support system, I know a lot of people think it was built for black men. It actually was built for white men, because white men were running away from their children, and the communities were having to take up his slack. And so it was designed as a system to be able to recoup the monies that the resources that the community was spending on his family. But anyways, going back to this, the whole black women are ratchet and poor mothers thing, this whole discussion is very interesting, because like most of the other myths, they came from outside of the community. Like, somebody told us that black women weren't shit, and we just believed it. You know, it's the same with black men. Like, somebody from outside told us that, you know, these men ain't shit, and we believed it. So it's always funny. I really don't have anything to add outside of what you guys have said. It's just, you know, I think about this, right? If 70% of black mothers are raising their children without a man in the house, and youth arrests have been going down for the last 10 years, roughly. Black youths are being active in gangs at a smaller clip. And more importantly, 70% of black adults are not involved in some kind of crime, or whatever the case might be. Like, all of those numbers say to me that the vast majority of black women are just doing a damn good job. They have to be. Because if 70% of our children are growing up without a man in the house, using that single parent statistic, yet less than 1% of our community is involved in criminal activity, then we have to say that black women are doing an outstanding job. That's the only thing that can be said about that.
Hey, right? Man, look, the NBA, the NFL, they love them single mothers. Let's just be real. As much as they talk shit, they love the single mothers, because guess what? Coming out of single mothers, you got to, that's where you get Barkevious Mingos and stuff like that. Because it's like they make it seem like if your parents' relationship don't work out, your future is doomed. Yet the NFL and NBA is filled with people who come from single parent households. So I mean, you know, it's a farm system out there. Like, they're telling us these things while still raping our culture and using us up while they feeding us this bull, so they can keep us in one place. So, hey man, but let's move on. Let's move on before we run out of time. This next, I want to skip 5 because we kind of covered that. 5 is black men are poor husbands and providers, but we kind of covered that with saying black men are poor fathers. But number 6 says black women are emotionally unstable. What's y'all thoughts and comments on black women being emotionally unstable?
My thoughts and comments is, a lot of people are emotionally unstable. To put that, just say black women are emotionally unstable. At times, I'm emotionally ungoddamn stable. So to just say black women, because again, we bind into that stereotype of, you know, the emotional distraught. You know, what's old girl when she set the dude car on fire and Stella got her groove back type shit. That's what we are picturing when we say, right, hey, black women emotional. That shit ain't true. Everybody has some emotional instability, and black women aren't more likely to. That's a myth. Now,
Waiting to Exhale.
Yeah, well, yeah, Waiting to Exhale. That's what I said. I said Stella Got Her Groove Back. My fault. Hey, man, don't be fact-checking me on air. You do that
same
shit off
person.
The air, Pat. I told you that.
Same person.
Yeah, same person. Angela Bassett, you got the point. But anyway, that's just, we got to get out inside of that, because that's one of those myths where, you know, you kind of got that bad connotation, and we don't want to deal with, you know, our sisters and stuff like that because we feel like they're emotionally unstable. A lot of people are emotionally immature, so, yeah, that's my rant. That's stupid.
I think, I agree with Jamie. I think it's kind of silly to just say black women are emotionally unstable. And because, like he said, it does play on that whole black women are emotional creatures, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, even if you go back to the movie you're talking about, she was very calm when she set his car on fire and did all that shit. He was pretty emotional when he found out. So, but even to that, I think it's just, like, I'm going to say this, and black people feel however they want to feel about it, but it's the truth. Black people are emotionally unstable. We are. We need collective therapy as a group, as a whole. We're all carrying around baggage, genetic baggage from the centuries of abuse we've taken. So we are, as a people, unstable. You can't say black women only or black men only or blah, blah. Like, we are collectively unstable. That's how come it's so easy to fool us, and we get caught up in all these moral victories and shit. You know what I'm saying? We'll celebrate a loss because we look good losing. You know what I'm saying? And then when I speak on stuff like that, I'm talking about the celebration that I saw us having as a collective when that boy kicked that white woman's window out for calling him a nigger. And we all, you know, I saw all over social media, black men and women celebrating this moral victory. I bet she won't call him a nigger again. She ain't gonna have to, because he's going to jail.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? Like, she's not gonna see him to call him a nigger again, because he's going to jail. She won. That's a, you know, like, he had an emotional outburst. She won. You're going to jail. You know, we all got emotional when that black mother was beating her son for being out there at the protest. You know what I'm saying? And we got emotional on both sides of the equation with that situation. And she was allowed to be used to shift our attention away from the fact that they was protesting onto the fact that we had this woman who was declared a hero, and then the details of her life came out, and then ain't nobody ever want to talk to her or help her again. Like, we as a people are emotional as shit, and I think we have to accept that.
I mean, I agree. Black America itself needs psychological, emotional, mental rehabilitation. We all need it. Every last one of us need it. The trauma that we go through every day, the stress that we go through every day, has weighed on us, and it's been passed from generation to generation because we never got any real healing. So here we are at each other's necks and at each other's throats every day because we're all emotionally unstable, we're imbalanced, and we need to seek balance, and we're not. And that's where we get to where we are. And then on top of that, we believe the bullshit that people say about us. Like, we really believe it. We really buy into it. Like when if your enemy is never going to give you something beneficial. And I don't understand why people don't get that. It's like in the game of race, people don't get that. If it was rap beef, and I wrote a rhyme for my opponent, my opponent wouldn't take the rhyme. But in the game of life and race relations, figuratively, white America is writing the rhymes for black America. Black America saying, okay, thank you, and then wondering why you're still losing the battle. You know, we have to get our stuff together. But emotionally, until we get our stuff together emotionally, we're going to still be digging that hole. I mean, I keep telling people, you know, let's study the successful aspects of African history and do our best to recreate it within our times, with our resources and things that we have. But we're not doing those things. We're black women are not emotionally unstable. Black people as a whole, both sides, men and women, need emotional rehabilitation, mental rehabilitation, psychological rehabilitation. That's what we need, because we're not well. The effects of slavery are still upon us. The effects of racism and redlining and Jim Crow and just the constant attack that we get on a daily basis by these savages who call themselves human beings is one of the reasons why we are at the emotional unstable states that we are on both sides, male and female. And that's all I got to say about that.
Facts.
Mm-hmm. So, number 7 says black men are abusive. Y'all agree or disagree?
Goddamn right. I hope he burns in hell. No, I do not. I don't believe in that. That's first of all, abuse in black relationships, it's not like, I don't know the statistics behind it, so I'm not going to get into numbers, but to say black men are just abusive, I don't agree with that. Again, people in my circle, I can't tolerate anybody that's going to actively hit on a woman, not in front of me, not I'm known for. I don't associate myself with those type of people, so I can't say I know or associate with black men who are abusive towards women in general. So that's a tough one. I'm pretty sure Pat got some statistics he gonna throw at us, hopefully, because I just put it in his face, and if he ain't got it, he looks weak. Go ahead, Pat.
Hey, man, look. No, like, for real, though, like, but for real, though, like even before Pat say that, for real, though, like, if we talk about the male population as a whole, most males are not abusive. Most males aren't. Most abusers are males, but that don't mean most males are abusive. And so same thing with the black community. You can say, let's say 10 to 15% of black men are actually abusive. Now, you still got 85 to 90% of black men who are not abusive, but at the same time, those black men who are not abusive, are they doing something about the small percentage of black men who are abusive? And then remember, most abusers are men. So because most abusers are men, we look at it as most black men are abusive because most abusers are men. But that's not the case. It's a smaller number than what people recognize or want to recognize or even agree with. But that's not to say that the abuse doesn't happen. I know there are black men who are abusive. I can walk down the street and it's a dude right now who abusive. I swing on him though, but he abusive. But he doesn't constitute the number of black men. And I think people got to start looking at that. And also, people got to realize, looking at percentage versus raw numbers. If a percentage may be high, but that percentage doesn't give that certain number. So being able to look at that, but most black men are not abusive, but abuse, there are black men who are abusive who do need their ass whooped. But, you know, yeah, leave it at that.
Yeah, I agree.
Here's the thing. You guys are 100% right. Most men are not abusive. Most men are not going to abuse you. And black men fall in that category as well. Most black men are not abusive. They're not going to beat you up. They're not going to rape you. They're not going to coerce you into doing something you want to do. Most men are not that. But then we look at another number that says roughly 40% of black women have either been abused or been sexually coerced into doing something sexually that they didn't want to do by the time they're 18. You know, and so you, and then you go even the number stays at roughly about 40. It might jump up a little bit when you start talking about older women that have experienced abuse or sexual coercion. And then you look at the fact that the majority of these women are with black men, and you draw a natural conclusion. Now, the interesting part is black men and black women are both 22 times more likely to be in an abusive relationship than any other group in America. So, when you look at it comparatively, you say black men and black women are abusing the shit out of each other.
Duh.
At a comparatively alarming rate. But when you just look at the raw statistics and you say, okay, not comparing it to other groups, then the fact remains that most black men are not abusive. The ones that will abuse you are in the minority.
But you know what? You know what I hate? I hate this, what statement I hate without it being put in the context. When they say black men are most likely to be abused by black men more than any other race of men. Duh, because you're interacting with black men more than any other men.
Yeah, that's just numbers. Yeah.
I mean, but seriously though, it's like, but they throw that as a blanket statement. Black women are more likely to be abused by black men, right? Because black women are engaging in relationships with black men more than any other race of men. White women are more likely to be abused by white men. Chinese women are more likely to be abused by Chinese men. Malaysian women are more likely to be abused by Malaysian men. You're going to be abused by who you are with, and most of the time, people get with their own race. That's the way of the world. People date and marry their own people. Like, no matter what American TV lies to you about, most people date and interact and be in relationships with the people that look like them, the people that they can relate to. So if abuse is happening, of course it's going to be highest. It's going to be higher with intra-racial abuse. It's going to be higher than interracial abuse. Come on, it's common logic, people. Now, it's not okay for men to be abusive. Now, I do have a problem with the number of, let's just talk about black America. Black families. We know, because they always tell, I would like to tell jokes about either the abusive uncle or the pedophilic uncle or the aunt or whatever, the person, the craziest person in the family that everybody knows is fucked up, but ain't nobody doing nothing about it. You're creating culture. You're creating culture that says it's okay for these people to exist, and then you complain when these people exist. That's one of the things that really pissed me off about how we get down, because in my opinion, America is not very serious about stopping violence, especially if we're talking about violence against women. America is not very serious about stopping violence against women. America is only serious about talking about stopping violence against women because the tactics and the methods that they take is idiotic and insane. So, I mean, because think about it, like I'm saying, we create the culture for these people to exist and then get mad when they exist.
Mm-hmm.
We got to do something different.
I agree. But, yeah, black men aren't more abusive. I don't agree to that.
Right.
Nah, black men aren't abusive. They aren't. The majority of black men are not abusive. But as a community, we do, that goes back to the point we made earlier. We do need help as a community emotionally. We need, and I'm not talking about outside help, we need to develop our own internal mechanisms for getting past emotional barriers, for communication, for teaching communication and getting past emotional barriers. We need to develop all those things within our own community internally. And that needs to be something that needs to happen ASAP. Because far too many of our women are being abused. Far too many of our men are being abused. Far too many of our men are abusing. Far too many of our women are abusing. You know, it's all the way around. But, again, the majority of the black men you see are not going to abuse you.
Right. Right. Stop. Turn off the damn TV. Both sides. All right, now, we're going to ruffle some feathers with this one.
Oh, all right,
number eight is black women are too obsessed with church. Is this a myth or is this a fact? Or does it have truth in it?
It has truth in it. I want to say it's fact because it is a controversial piece of evidence, but it does contain a lot of truth. Oh, my God. Like, and we see it. This isn't something that, you know, we can deny or anything like that, because everybody has that one friend who's in a relationship with Jesus, Jesus is her everything. Yeah. She doesn't need a man as long as she got King Jesus. Jesus. But secretly, she's lonely as hell, and you got that one friend. God's going to send me a Boaz, and I'm going to get this strong built man and all this other bullshit. So, yes, this it's women out there who are completely obsessed. And I think those women probably giving up dating, giving up trying to find, you know, a mate or something like that. And religion offers that comfort. Like, hey, you don't need a man. You don't need that. You don't need that D. Come on over here, pick up a Bible, and love your pastor more than you love yourself. Love the church. Just the bulls are, and honestly, it's like they're becoming nuns to a certain degree. Nuns who go out on weekends looking to get laid, but don't actually do. But that sounds terrible. I'm sorry, I take that sentence back. But, you know, it's horribly true. And everybody, if you've been to church before, you know that one lady who didn't have a man, who was, you know, honestly could have, you know, a man, but I don't need it. I got Jesus. It's cool. You know, Jesus isn't going to, you know, keep you warm in that bed at night. He's not going to provide that emotional stability that you would get from having a significant other. That's just the fact. Like, don't get mad at me and call me sacrilegious, whatever the hell. That's just the fact. Jesus is not going to sit down and talk to you about your long day. You could tell him. He's not going to say anything back. You know that. But you're going to try, and you're not going to hear anything back, and you're going to still have that void that you've always had. So this, and so I won't say a lot, because that'd be, you know, an overstatement, but I've seen this quite often, especially with women who are out of the dating market, who don't have an interest in dating, who don't have a love interest and all that kind of nonsense. But it's true. Fuck it. It's true. The rumors are true, people.
I agree. There is a lot of truth to this one. And that's just, if you break it down, you know, when you look at all of the doctrines they have out there, the singleness doctrine, the blessings of singleness, the gift of singleness, and all these other things, you know, even when, you know, they talk about Paul and First Corinthians, one of the big things they like to talk about is how he says that he would rather people remain single. And, you know, and they're forgetting the fact, they're forgetting about what he was talking about and about the context in which he was putting all that in. Most people don't fit within that context of what Paul was talking about when he said he would rather people be single. But even to that, you look at the church and the doctrines they promote now, and you look at the fact that so many, I think it's more than 80% of black people view the church as extremely important. Over 80% of black women for sure view the church as extremely important. You know, and then you run into the control that the church has over so many aspects of our lives. You know, I know dudes now and females that where the men have had to meet the pastor before he could ask the woman to date to marry her, and where the woman made the dude meet the pastor before she went on a second date with him. You know, like, I know people like that. So, you know, you look at the control the church has, and you look at the fact that, you know, you think about what the list for most women that I've talked to anyways, it contains. One of the very first things they say is, I want a God-fearing man. Man, they don't say, I want a man that loves me first. They don't say, I want a man that even can provide or is academically on my level first. They say, I want a God-fearing man first. And what they mean by that is they want a man that respects the same type of God I respect, the same type of religion I respect, and that is going to be, like Jamie said, my Boaz. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's going to be this special person in my life. You know, and I think that element right there, just it runs a lot of people away, especially when you look at the fact that, in terms of men anyways, the church is becoming less and less important. You know, that black men are, and not just black men, black people, well, people in general, are falling away from the church slowly but surely. But black men are falling away from the church at a clip that's a little bit faster than black women. And so you run into this rub here where you want women to be this pinnacle of a Christian man, even when they aren't the pinnacle of a Christian woman. And so you just have all these situations colliding together around religion where, you know, and the interesting part of that is that the church is largely controlled by men.
Thanks.
But you have all of these different elements that are coming together that create a space where it is very, very, very difficult for a man to meet the standards that a lot of women have for what they want because of the church. And you have a situation where, as well, men are just backing out. Women are stopping because the church largely does teach inactivity. It doesn't tell you to go out and prepare yourself, get your skills up, and make sure that when you meet the man of your dreams, you're able to put something out there that will attract him. It oftentimes tells you that God is just going to send this person to you. Wait. You know, so you have a lot of these different doctrines and things that are out there that create a situation where it becomes very difficult for somebody that's not in the church like that to link up with somebody that is. And then when you add in other little things like this whole equally yoked discussion, which doesn't have a whole lot to do with religion itself, because the very next section of the Bible after that section talks about a believer being with an unbeliever. So, you know, so if that section is even in there as a way to do it, then they couldn't possibly be talking about religion in terms of being equally yoked. But there's a lot going on when it comes to religion, the church, and relationships. And, you know, I think you'd be a fool to say that there isn't at least some truth to this one.
Well, I agree. So I'm going to start with, there is some truth, and because I've only heard women say this statement. And I'm not going to say all black women are too religious. I'm not going to say that. But there are some black women who go overboard, and there are some black men who go overboard. Now, when you believe that God wanted black people to go through slavery so we can find Jesus, first of all, you're a fool. You're a fool. So God only did that for African Americans, but no other race of people on earth had to be enslaved for 400-500 years to find Jesus. Like, Chinese people just decided to start following Christianity. Like, all other people. I mean, cause think about that statement, and then think about, like, who are Christians. Like, people become Christians because they choose to. But black people in America specifically are Christians directly because of slavery. And when you say about, because you're talking about an omnipresent being. And an omnipotent being. Omnipotent means almighty, infinite, and power. I'm going to say it once again. Omnipotent means to be almighty, infinite, and power. There's no such thing as limitations. There's no such thing as nothing that can go against this almighty, infinite power. This is the prime source of everything. Everything that is anything comes from this source of energy. And you're going to tell me that this all-powerful force made black people specifically be slaves for 400 years just to love Jesus? That's stupid. That's crazy, but that's obsessing over religion. That's taking the religious aspect too far. And then, Pat, when you were saying, like, God-fearing, no benevolent God would want you to fear it.
Thank you.
No benevolent God. Fear, you got to remember, look, I don't care what the words in the Bible say. Y'all got to start using some common sense, especially when you know. No, seriously. Especially because, look, when you was in elementary school, they taught you that the name of the author of the book goes on the spine of the book, right?
Right.
Whose name on the spine of that book?
kill a King James. There's so many.
So right. So and this over 1,000 versions of the Bible. It's over 1,000 versions. So we're talking about doctrines that have been tainted and messed up and changed and all these things here. Like, if you can have a conversation with me about books being taken out of the Bible and then try to tell me that the Word of God is infallible and can't be changed, you a damn fool. You just told me books were taken out. Then you're going to tell me the Word can't be changed. You a damn fool.
But,
you know, I think our obsession comes with Christianity is because we feel like that's the only thing we had to hold on to during slavery. We feel like Christianity got us through slavery. And not necessarily Christianity, because a lot of the African traditions were not let go of. They were just transformed so they can be maintained. And I think people lose sight of that. When you lack historical purpose, like, I mean, even you can't even just get on the Christians. Look at the Hebrew Israelites.
Yeah.
Like, the Hebrew Israelites, they really believe what they say. Like they really believe what they really believe. They don't know that they Christians.
No.
They don't. Like, they have, the Hebrew Israelites have no idea that they Christians, and they'll tell you that they're not Christians while waving the Bible at you.
Hey, man. Their lost tribe of the lost tribe that got lost.
Man, when. No, you know what get me about the Hebrew Israelites will tell you that the slaves, that the people that the Africans sold into slavery were Hebrew Israelites. And they'll tell you that with a straight face and no evidence. And then the evidence that they try to use is going to be a biblical scripture, but they can't give you no real evidence to say that these people, because how can we go up to Hakim and see that Hakim is a descendant of a Hebrew Israelite? Like, you're not a descendant of Muhammad because you converted to Islam. You're not a descendant of Hebrew Israelites because you converted to Hebrew Israelite. You're not a descendant of Jacob and David just because you converted to these religions. And then let's use our mind again. You got all these English names. I'm sorry. I'm going there. I'm sorry.
Nah.
Yeah, because you're not on topic no more.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm sorry. But all of that goes to our obsession with the church, because and it's not everybody, but those who are obsessed with the church, and you pass that down, that's how you get to these other things. And that's one of the reasons, in my opinion, why we're so lost, is because we're obsessed with the idea of God and religion, and we have no idea what it is. But the original point is, there are some black women and black men who are too obsessed with church, and I think they're more than what we need, but it's not everybody.
Yeah, like, I used to, you know, when I was single, you know, how do you want to tell the whole story, but you heard the phrase, oh, godly dating and godly this, and it's just like, they put all these restrictions on dating, and it's just like, how do you really know, like, you say you want a God-fearing man, like Pat alluded to, that doesn't mean he's going to love you this, that, and the other. He could be God-fearing and beat the shit out of you every day. He could be God-fearing and have, like, 13 side chicks. Like, that has no effect on his religion. I'm just saying. I mean, he know you're going to get forgiveness on Sunday. You know, eat the cracker, drink the wine, take the shot, and I'm good to go. So, what is, like, you got to be smart. Just having someone that practices the same religion as you doesn't mean or guarantee you gonna be in a good relationship.
I bet you your favorite pastor God fearing.
Yeah. Pastor fearing jumping out them damn windows. That's what I'm talking
like
about.
Pastor Sidney.
jumping.
But I think some women they kinda gotta, I don't wanna say put your religion to the side, but the Bible doesn't lay out a handbook in modern times and dating. I mean, back then, you didn't have to go to the woman. You can go to the dad and be like, yo, I'm trying to, and the dad can marry your ass off. Like, I don't think people read that shit.
People pay attention to what they want to pay attention. Look, religion should not trump common damn sense. I would go even further and say human beings don't need religion. The religion should not trump common sense. But that's not our topic for today. I'm sorry. I know I went off, but, you know.
The Bible does lay out, for those that are super religious, it does lay out the possibility of a relationship that a believer can have with a non-believer. It lays that out. It even lays out the possibility of you being a believer and having children that aren't believers. So if the Bible lays that out for you about what you should do in these situations, then obviously these situations are not frowned upon. So I don't, even from a biblical standpoint, it doesn't make sense that the very first thing you would concern yourself with when you meet a new person is what religion they are. Like, that just doesn't make sense, even from a biblical standpoint.
Jesus, my boo, and I don't give a damn what you talking about, Pat.
That's true.
Facts.
And they don't. And that's why I was like, you know, we might well have a whole other conversation about that later, because they not going to give a shit one way or another what we say.
That's true, too. I would love to get one of those young ladies on the, that, you know, go to church, they wear the jean dress. You know, the ones that wear the jean dress all the way down to the ankles.
those ones who say that they can only wear dresses because that's what the women wore back in the days, but men not walk around in tunics.
Yeah, but then in the same sense, the Bible also, the laws of Leviticus also says that you shouldn't mix fabrics.
Oh,
and ain't
right.
Nobody jeans 100% nothing.
But, you know, talk about, y'all know who I'm talking about, though. You know that one sister, she got that, like, where they buy those jean dresses that long from? That's number one. Is there a special store? And they always got, like, white socks and some, like, nice
and
little
them,
funny shoes.
Yeah. Well, shut up.
Oh, hey, my God,
hey,
man.
You know what? Hey, but what also gets me is the Jehovah Witness, and they ride bicycles. Then you ask them why they ride bikes, and they say, well, because they're trying to be like Jesus, and Jesus didn't ride bikes. Yeah, but y'all not walk riding around on ashes either now, because there was no bikes in biblical days. And I'm sure they didn't wear bow ties back in biblical days either. So.
Or jean dresses at all.
Hey, all right, let's move on so we wrap this up. All right, so number nine, I know we'll have to, we don't have to spend too much time on this because this is not necessarily a myth, but it says black men are too few in number. And yes, black men out on the street are too few in number because black men, it's a whole lot of us that's dead or in jail because we know we targeted. But the focus is number 10. So black men are more attracted to white women. That's the myth. Is that, Pat, you black Irish, is that true or false? Are black men more attracted to white women?
The numbers clearly say that black men are more interested in black women than black men. Even when I was a kid and I was going through my white girl phase, I had one white girlfriend growing up that I had to hide from my mama. And the only reason I was dating a white girl at the time was because, you know, I was real, real dark, and black girls weren't giving me no play, and I wanted a girlfriend. But
you didn't give up.
I didn't give up, because after that white girl, I went back to black women, and I eventually married a black woman. So, but even in, like I said, even in dating her, I can't sit here and say I was attracted to her or nothing like that. I just wanted a girlfriend. So, but the numbers are clear. You know what I'm saying? Like we said, over 90% of black men are married to black women. You know, it's all over the place. Black love is everywhere. For anybody to say that black men prefer white women, that, you know, you're basically just looking at TV only.
And that's exactly what it is. Looking at TV, looking at the few NFL football players who, you know, got a black mom and X, Y, and Z, but, you know, they're with white women. And that pisses a lot of people off, and vice versa, you know. When Serena, I guess she's getting engaged to this white dude, and people just like, oh, this is an ordinary ass white dude. Like, why would she do that? First and foremost, you like whoever the hell you like. That's number one. But statistically, like Pat said, the numbers show that black men are, you know, we go after black women, and that's for any race. I mean, that the numbers don't speak. It's not a mass exodus of black men leaving black women behind and going to get other races. You might find that in other segments of society that are non-black, but you don't find that with black men. And I've always been attracted to black women. I've always found them to be the most beautiful things on this earth. So that's just me. If that's your taste, you know what I'm saying? If you like that, you know, you like white women, Asian. I know fellas who got a thing for Asian chicks. You know, they got a thing for Latinas, all X, Y, and Z. Whatever the case may be, but let's not get it confused. Brothers still love the sisters in overwhelmingly numbers. So we got to get that. Stop looking at that one Hollywood dude that, what's the dude? Tay Diggs. Stop looking at him and putting that as the black face of every, dude in society. Y'all got to stop doing that. And black men got to stop doing that as well, because we do that a little bit. We can't get so mad when we see a sister walking with a white dude. Even though you want to ask her where her daddy at, we got to get over that.
Hey, man.
I know Joe ain't going to be joking like, fuck that shit, but that's fair.
Hey, man, I ain't gonna lie. If the black girl fine as hell, I'm like, why you with him? I ain't gonna lie. I'd be like that. If she real fine, I know that's fucked up. But black men are not more attractive. All right. Black men use white women. Let's just put that on the table right there. Black men see white women as sexual objects. Let's just be real. You do have some black men who gonna marry white women. You do got some black men who only prefer white women. You got the black men who marry the fat white woman with the I love black men hairstyle. Then you got some black men who marry the skinny white women with the I love black men hairstyle. And then you got all that stuff there. But for the most part, black men are marrying black women. Even the rapper who talk about all that crazy stuff and talk about all these exotic features, when you go look in their life, they married the black women, real black women. Black men marry black women. That we said earlier, and Jamie, you just said, when you put Tay Diggs sell out ass on the TV every day, now you put them on TV 50 times, I mean, because they could, if y'all took a picture of me with a white girl and you circulated it through social media every day, people would think I dated a white girl. But the reality is, when you really look behind the scenes, when you really scratch and look behind the surfaces, it's like black men are going toward black women. Black men are doing what they always done, mess with black women. I mean, that's just what we do. You do have some black men who do mess with white women, and I don't understand why, but that's what they do. I mean, that's on them. They can, hey, whatever. But we like our women, black women. Live queen of the universe, mother of the earth. Black women are the best ever. You got some black dudes who crazy as hell, but that's their fault that they crazy as hell. There's nothing wrong with black women, and black women shouldn't get mad when they see they shouldn't feel self-conscious and feel like something is wrong with them, especially if you're a black woman and you sing and you see a black man with a white woman. That's his problem. He the one got to deal with her. He the one got to hurt, hope that to get out shit don't happen to him, not you. He the one. Nah, seriously though, because you get into a lot of these relationships and you can't even meet these people's grandparents. You can't even really meet the family like that. I'm not saying this across the board, but a lot of that stuff happens and you got to take that into account. If that's what the dude want to get into, that's what he want to get into. But it ain't on me to say that. But I will not stand and say that black men are more attracted to white women than they are. Black men know that white women are easier to get sex from than black women. We know that. White women are the girls who in high school and middle school you started running the trains on first because they were easier. So.
Facts. I get what you're saying. And, on the reverse side of that, you could say, white women only use black men for, sexual pleasure, X, Y, and Z. So that argument, the sexual pleasure part of it, that can be argued, and I can see it from multiple angles. But the numbers are the numbers. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't. And Pat gave us the numbers, and I'm going to roll with that.
The interesting part, I'm sorry, Jamie, I'm sorry.
Now you go ahead, man.
The interesting part, I was thinking, as Joe said, that, and I've heard it you know, black men say it a lot in private circles, white women are easier. I actually had a few white guys say the same thing about black women, that black women are easier to get for them than white girls. So that's it. That's interesting. I was just thinking about it while Joe was talking. I don't know if there's any... I mean, I know there are YouTube videos and stuff out there that show quote-unquote social studies going one way and the other. But that is interesting to think. You know, I wonder why white women are easier for black men to get than black women. Just like I wonder if it's true, and if it is, why black women would be easier to get for white men.
I think white men are lying overall, because I think those white men know and they understand that the way white women are socialized about sex and black women are socialized about sex is two different ways. And white women don't look at sex the same way as black women do. It's not all of them, but it's almost like they look at sex as it's a commodity. And it's okay to just have sex with random people and just have a lot of sex and stuff like that, you know. But some black women are starting to adopt those behaviors. But I think those white dudes are lying. But, you know, for black dudes, I think that's true. Like, we know, like, it's easier. Like, you're going to have to put in more work to get a black girl than you will a white girl, unless you find you a black girl with low self-esteem. But it's more white girls with their self-esteem to together who just look at sex totally different, like it's a commodity just give away.
I don't know. I can, like I said, I can see that playing out, because it might be easy for the black dude, you know, from our angle, but it might just be the, you know, a white girl saying, yo, I want some of this Mandingo tonight. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that. It's just she's using him, he's using her. Everybody's getting used the fuck up. That's all I'm saying.
That's a part of it, but you know, black men ain't checking for white women like that.
No, I agree with that. That is most definitely true.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're not trying to say that black men don't mess with white women, but black men ain't checking for white women like that.
But you know, the other interesting part is while roughly 8 or 9% of black men are involved in interracial relationships, the second most likely to be involved in the interracial relationship is black women at 5%, 4 or 5%. So, you know, it's interesting all around. But anyway, the numbers don't lie. We love each other.
Straight up. Black people love black people, and we working every week to get better, So that was our hood Mythbusters. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we're probably going to have to come back next week and have our religion talk. What y'all think?
Yes, we should get Dr. Garvey on this joint. We should hit him.
We got to contact him, but, you know, we got to. We're talking about religion next week. We're going in. And then the following week, we will be interviewing the founders of That Suits You, which is a company out of New York, which helps underprivileged people find suits and help them put suits together so they can go to their interviews, jobs, workshops, all these things here. So they're doing a real good thing. It's a nonprofit organization that's out of New York, and they've been doing good things in the community. So in 2 weeks, we'll have That Suits You on the Freedom Train podcast. And we got some good guests coming up, too. So y'all make sure y'all stay tuned. But we'll have to go down that religion road next week. You know what I'm saying? So bring your Bibles, your Torahs, your Bahagavaditas. Because if you want to go, bring all the religious books you got and let's go.
Bring your bean pies and all that good stuff.
Yep. So, Pat, tell them about your book, man.
The book is coming. My editor, I had a nice long conversation with my editor today, and we're expecting a summer release date for the book. The book is a book about the relationship black men to black women. It's not a relationship book. It's just a book talking about what we've been through, what happened, and how we got to the position we are today, where it's so hard for us to prefer us to respect each other, and it kind of addresses this growing divide we have between each other. So that book will be out in the summer months. Obviously, I will let you guys know well in advance of when we have an actual release date set. But yeah, man, this book has been in the works. I first started writing this book in 2013. So it's been in the works for a good minute. So, yeah.
Yep. And y'all make sure y'all go to the Google Play Store, type in On the Shoulders of Giants, and download my On the Shoulders of Giants African History Curriculum app, which is a living app, meaning the app will never get old on you. The app updates with new profiles and new quiz ever so often, very, very, very regularly. So you can download the app, and you can also purchase your copy of On the Shoulders of Giants Volume 1 North America from my website, www.ontheshoulders.org. And stay tuned for On the Shoulders of Giants Volume 2 Central America is coming out. And Jamie, tell them about your stripping business.
I'm coming out. I got a few strip DVDs and tours. Right now we're going to start on the Chitlin circuit. And I'm going to just, you know, take the stripping thing to the top. Look out for me. It's called Chocolate iPod Tours. And coming to a city near you.
Jumping out of cake near you. There it is. Hey, man, y'all know how it is. I'm Joseph Ward. He's Jamie Basham. He's Patrick Irvin. Together, we make up the Freedom Train podcast series. And we'll see y'all next week. But before we really let y'all go, we just want to say peace.